Welcome to the Black Sparrow Media Internet Broadcast Network.
You're listening to Linux and the Ham Shack. LHS is a podcast about Linux, open source and amateur radio for everyone. Now here are your hosts, Russ, K5TUX, Cheryl, W5MOO, and Bill, NE4RD.
All right, and this is episode number 202 of Linux and the Ham Shack, and it kind of feels like we were just here doing this not that long ago, actually. But
not long at all.
We're all still here. There's Bill.
Yeah. Hi, Bill. Hello.
And I'm Russ, and that's Cheryl over there.
Hello, everyone.
And we have some folks in the chat room we should probably acknowledge. We have Robert Pitts, W1RCP, and we have Dave, KB0OWD. And I don't know if anybody else is in there, but if I know Copy Lion just connected again, but that could have just been a client reaction to something.
Yeah. But we do have several people in the chat room, but they're kind of quiet right now.
Yeah, they're usually quiet at night. I think a lot of them are overseas and stuff, so they're probably all asleep right now. But anyway, this is what we're calling the Weekender. This is our bi-weekly Thursday edition of the show where we just talk about random stuff. And Bill, why don't you talk about some of these upcoming things that are going to be happening in the amateur radio world? We'll start off with some like real content, then we'll get into the fun things.
Okay, so these are things to do in amateur radio this weekend, and anytime we do the Weekender, I'll try to include some of this stuff. And if you have a contest, special event station, Hamfest, or something you'd like us to mention in this section when we do the Weekender, please send us a note in the feedback. We have the recommended contest. There are plenty of contests that's running this weekend. However, the only one I can really recommend is the North American CUSO Party, CW. It runs this Saturday from 1800 Zulu to Sunday at 559 Zulu. This is a low-power contest, meaning the maximum power you can operate to qualify for a class is 100 watts. So the exchange is simple, just your name and your state, or if you're a DX station, I believe it's just your name. And if CW isn't your game, check out this one when they do the single sideband and radio. This whole series of contests runs twice a year. So right now we're in the winter season for this one. And it's a lot of fun. It's a short contest. It's just, you know, basically a 12-hour period. I think it's 12 hours. That's what it looks like. Yeah, just a 12-hour period. So it's not a very long commitment and stuff like that. It's the regular contest bands, 160, 80, 40, 20, 15, 10, haha, 10, like it would actually be open.
Or six, haha, yeah.
This is a good time to get on there and try it out. There's some people that go crazy fast, but this is sponsored by the National Contest Journal, and you can find everything on their website about this contest and about the other two, the single sideband and ready modes. But this week it is CW, so give your fist a try at running some fun in this contest here this weekend. The special event stations we have listed here for interest are the NI6IW, and this will be the call sign for the USS Midway Museum Ship special event, Desert Storm Kickoff, on Saturday from 1700 Zulu to 2359 Zulu. And we also have K2BSA Portable 6. This is the Boy Scouts of America.
Let's not go an entire episode without mentioning the BSA.
Wow, really?
No, that just can't happen. I didn't mention it in our deal we did the other day.
That's true. You did. Yep.
So yeah. So anyway, they'll be active this Saturday during daylight hours at Polar Camp in Idlewild, California. So Polar Camp is a camp for Cub Scouts. So they'll be out during the daytime hours. And they'll generally have a decent HF station over there. I believe it's a WB6 or W6CBC or something like that. He's a pretty active activator for the K2BSA call sign out in California. So check them out. And like I said, if you have any other stations or stuff you want us to mention, please feel free to send us a note. And since we do every other weekend, I should probably do a couple weekends out so I can cover them both. I know, back home in Florida, where I'm originally from, there is the Fort Myers Ham Fest next weekend. And so that's going on, but that's the only one I know of. There's no ham fest up here in Montana. We just we don't do that stuff.
It's too cold.
Too cold for a ham or a hammer radio operation? Yes. Maybe.
So well, yeah.
Especially right now. Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy.
Well, if you're anything like Bill and you have all of your antennas down, then I guess you're right. It's too cold for anything.
Yeah, just sit home and drink and then call it good.
Drinking's good.
Drinking is good.
Well, maybe I'll go skiing. I don't know. We'll see.
You could drink and ski. I hear that's fun.
I normally do, but not much. You don't want to drink too much when you ski. It's actually a really, really bad idea. I made the mistake one time, just once. That's normally all it takes. Is I went skiing. It was real early, like my second or third time skiing. I'm like, oh, I'll do the mid mountain bar and I'll have a couple of drinks, and I had a couple of really fast drinks. Oh. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to get back out on my skis. So as I walked out onto the snow to walk over to my skis, I fell down like four times. Once I actually clicked into my skis and started going down a green, I was like, man, I don't think I should be skiing.
Well, you know how you know you're drunk in that case? It's not that you fell down four times. It's that after falling down four times, you still thought it was okay to strap in and go skiing.
Yeah, it's like, well, you don't have a choice. You're on mid-mountain. You got to go somewhere.
You got to go somewhere. Up or
it's
down.
Not like I'm in a parking lot, so yeah. Yeah, I only did that once that way. I was like, well, I'm never doing that again. You know, because you're at altitude, and you know, especially here, that's, I think, the midway lounge or whatever is at about 8,500 feet. So,
oh, great. You know, yeah. It hits you a little quick anyway.
Yeah, but 8,500 feet is only like, it's only like 100 feet above the ground, because I mean, he's already in the high desert. So they just throw around these big numbers. They don't talk about the fact that like the average height of the entire area is 6,200 feet. So,
oh, no. Well, no, my house is at 34, I think. 34.
Oh, so you're in a valley.
Yes, we're in the Yellowstone River Valley.
Yeah, see?
Yeah, so he's way down there.
Yeah,
so.
You're way
so,
down.
So, yeah, it was a few thousand feet up. I mean, like, the city of Red Lodge, which is where the where this particular ski resort is, I mean, it sits at about, like, 6,200. So, I mean, you know, the city itself is high already. Mid-mountain, 8,500. Top of the mountain's, like, 90-something, 9,300, 9,400. I don't know. I could be wrong. It's something like that.
Oh, I just thought of something that kind of amused me. I was thinking that all of the mountains in Montana are tall and all of the mountains in Colorado are high.
Yes, because we don't have the open marijuana laws here.
W1RCP in the chat room said it was a good idea that we started talking about drinking because he's going to get himself some rye whiskey. And it's interesting because I almost reviewed Templeton Rye tonight because that's one of my favorite rye whiskeys, and it's a very accessible and approachable rye whiskey. You can get it for like $35 a bottle and sometimes even less. But I went with something I like a whole lot more, so we'll get to that in a little bit. All right, so is there anything else we should cover on the amateur radio front as far as upcoming things? Doesn't look like there's anything else.
I will be, and there's nothing else in there, but I will be pushing out. I'm not sure if you put that on there, but I will be pushing out what we talked about in Shop Talk. I'll be pushing out those videos that I did on YouTube, and I'll be retitling them so they make more sense with what the content is in each one of the building the Linux ham radio station. So keep an eye on our YouTube channel for LHS Podcast for those to be fed in there. I'll probably create a new playlist in there as well for it.
Yeah, and I would like to encourage folks who are on YouTube to pay a little bit closer attention to our YouTube channel, because we are going to be doing a lot more stuff on there. I already did post the first episode of Bill and I's Shop Talk, which is a video podcast where we actually go out into our various shops / garages and talk about things, which is kind of like what the Weekender is, but it's different, and this is audio only, where the other one actually has video. And we're both using OBS. Of course, I'm doing the recording side. So if you're not familiar with OBS, it's the Open Broadcaster System. And it's a pretty cool software package that allows you to do some live streaming video broadcasting and video editing. It allows you to do scene transitions and kind of cool things like that. It's like what W5KUB does, but a lot less expensive. And it really worked out well for that. So, yeah, keep focusing on the YouTube if that's something you got some time to do. It's been fun for us, and Shop Talk is going to kind of come out randomly. I don't think we're going to have any set schedule for that, but they'll be showing up periodically. And as I mentioned in episode 201, I'm going to try and post all of the audio episodes on YouTube as well. It'll just be the audio under some, probably like the logo or something like that. But you'll be able to get all of our content from 201 forward on YouTube. So,
cool.
Yeah, cool. All right. So Cheryl's sitting over there and she's not doing anything. And I think she's done with her editing in the Etherpad.
Yeah.
So you want to talk about some food?
Sure.
All right. Well, tell us what you got drummed up for food this time.
All right. Well, for food this time, I would like to point out in the very beginning that with most of my recipes, if not all of them, creativity is always suggested. And this specific recipe allows you to be super creative. The recipe this time is for homemade pizza rolls, and Russ loves pizza rolls.
Oh, yeah.
And he likes these, although I haven't made them in years. The prep work on them is a little time consuming, but they freeze great raw. Do not cook them and freeze them. Freeze them raw, quote unquote. So, you know, when you decide to make these, you know, just prepare to make a bunch of them, freeze them, and have them ready for future dinner or snacks. I will say, the specific recipe I've posted does not mention pepperoni, but, oh no, it does actually. Sorry. But in order to keep the grease down, microwave your pepperoni for a few seconds, literally 10 seconds, to get some of that grease kind of fried out of it. And if you like pepperoni, Russ and I also love pepperoni chips, which you take slices of pepperoni and lay them out on a paper towel and microwave them for 30 or 45 seconds till all the grease is cooked out and they're crispy, and then you can sprinkle garlic powder or pepperoni or whatever on them and they're delicious. So anyway, the recipe for the pizza rolls is 4 cups of shredded cheese, either pizza blend or mozzarella, a pound of sausage or hamburger, whichever you like to use, 6 ounces, give or take, of pepperoni chopped up, whatever vegetables you want, onions, peppers, mushrooms, you know, just pick your choice on that. A couple of jars of pizza sauce and some egg roll wrappers. And you need some oil and maybe some additional pizza sauce for dipping these little puppies in. So just stir together your cheese, sausage, pepperoni, you know, whatever you decide to use with the pizza sauce. You know, put the filling in the center of each egg roll, roll it up. And of course, those specific directions will be in the show notes. And fry them in an electric skillet at 375 for a few minutes on each side until they're golden brown. You can also use leftover chicken. Rotisserie chicken is good with some provolone or mozzarella and buffalo sauce with a blue cheese dipping sauce to make some buffalo chicken egg rolls. So I'm not sure. These freeze great going from the raw state. I'm not sure how well they would freeze if you fried them and then froze them. I don't think they would be very good, though.
So. Probably not. At least if you keep them in the raw state in the freezer, then when you pull them out and deep fry them, you get them as fresh. Even though they've already been pre-made, they're still going to be the freshest you can have them. Because otherwise, you've got all that grease that you fried them in or whatever's left over is going to be kind of sitting in the frozen, you know, product, and that's probably not a good idea.
No, probably not. So. Yeah. But again, yeah, creativity on these are, you know, you get a thumbs up for that because, you know, like the buffalo chicken one, that was just something I thought of. I was like, ooh, buffalo chicken and some cheese. Yeah, that sounds good. So
I think Bill's already dropping stuff. The 151's going to his head.
Now I just realized that I was needed. I'm like, oh, I'm just knocking stuff over on my desk.
You know, it's funny. When we were doing Shop Talk, remember I went to cut my cigar. And I didn't have my cutter, and I was like, oh, I can't believe I came out here and didn't have my cutter. So I went and used the punch on the bottom of the cigar, or on the bottom of the lighter. And that worked out really well, but then I realized that what had happened is I keep the cutter in the little velvet bag that it comes in. So I had pulled the velvet bag out of my pocket, and the cutter fell out of it. So it's it was still in my pocket. So, nice. And I hadn't even been drinking. That was before I cracked open the beer. So,
you know, I buy him nice stuff, and he loses it. So.
Well, I, no, I still have. Know that the lighter had punch on the end of it.
Is this a new lighter you got? Or
yeah, that Moretti that you got me. It has a punch cutter on the bottom.
Gotcha.
Which actually worked out really well.
So did you like the new lighter?
The lighter is excellent.
Okay.
You should watch. You should watch Shop Talk. It's fun, Bill. You can see Bill trying to use his.
Okay. Alrighty then.
So. And it's funny.
It's my Coleman.
I should use. I got. Cheryl bought me a butane soldering iron.
Mm-hmm.
I got two of those.
I was going down the hallway the other day when he was putting it together, and it looked a little dangerous. I'm like, oh, I'm going to go do laundry. I don't think I want to see the rest of
this.
Well,
I figured out how the whole thing works and everything. But what's kind of nice about it is it has a torch tip on it, so I can actually use that to light cigars as well.
Sure, that's exactly what I bought it for.
Well, why not? It worked. And it would probably work at lower temperatures than the Moretti will, for sure. Oh, so if it gets really cold. As I said, just you should watch Shop Talk. It was fun.
Gotcha.
And Bill, that episode took, I want to say, 10 hours to upload.
Wow.
Yep.
Through YouTube?
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The last YouTube video I did, a cooking one, was like 17 minutes long, and it took 2 days.
Yeah, so, well, it wasn't quite that bad. But it was like 3.5 gigs or something like that, and it took 10 hours to upload. Yeah.
I should probably like down compress it or whatever. I think they only use like, I think when I record stuff for YouTube, I do like an FLVs or something like that.
Yeah, I don't know what iMovie can export in. So I will.
Oh, that's true. You're using iMovie, so you got to use whatever works for that.
Right. Well, the next time I'm going to see if I can, maybe I did it as a 720, so it's a full HD video and everything. I don't know if that's truly necessary, but I'd like to keep it that way if possible. And even if it is, if it does take 10 hours to upload an hour long video, I'm okay with that because I can do it overnight. It's not a big deal.
Yeah, it's not like we go over anything time sensitive or anything like that. So it's fine for it to go out. It's more of a just a fun little thing. And
just to amuse ourselves, basically, and which we've been doing for several weeks now and several months. Probably we just actually started recording it now so other people can see us amusing ourselves.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we've been definitely smoking some cigars over the last few months.
We're trying to anyway. I put up a challenge in here. I don't know if this is going to become a regular part of the Weekender, but I put in a weekend challenge, and of course this will go for 2 weekends, and it's a challenge that I'm just saying I want to get people out there doing something or maybe thinking about doing something, and it's not like you're going to get a reward for this, and it's not like you're going to get money or anything like that. It's just, if you happen to be thinking about maybe I should try something, well, try this. And I got to thinking about the fact that we've been talking about the FT8 mode a lot lately and how prevalent it is and how fun it is and how exciting it is and how fast it is and all that good stuff. So I'm going to put it out there that I'm challenging myself and anybody else who might be listening to this to go out and make 10 contacts, digital mode contacts, but not using FT8. Use JT65, one of the original modes from the JT suite of modes. And actually sit back and do one of those slow, you know, takes a minute to roll through each time, blah, 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 and do that. And actually sit down and make 10 JT65 contacts and see if you can get through that and actually get on the air. And why are you laughing? Are you not going to be able to do this?
Oh, no, I'm laughing at Robert Pitts's comment. He's like, I'm out. Yeah, can I just do CW and call it good?
Now, CW might be a future challenge because that's one that
it's binary.
Well, it is binary, and it would probably be more of a challenge to many people than, you know, FT8 or JT65 because, you know, unless you're using a digital keyer, which I guess you can do it through FLDigi if you want, you could set that up for CW mode and do it that way, but that's kind of cheating.
Yeah. Speaking of cheating, and such a nice segue there into cheating. Did you happen to see the somebody realize that you can actually fully automate FT8 with using GUI macroing tools?
Well,
I'm like, yeah. How long did that take you people to figure out? Jeez, oh, Pete.
probably not very long, actually. I imagine.
Yeah. And, you know, to be honest, you could actually fully automate JT65 if you really wanted to as well with the same tool. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, good.
Well, no, you
because
have to
bad.
You have to reveal your cheat secrets.
Well, no, I'm not saying specifically. I just read the article on like Facebook not too long ago, like about an hour before I came on the show here. So I don't have the context, but I know exactly what it's doing. So I don't know if you've ever used this as a sysadmin back in the old days when you didn't really have PowerShell and stuff like that for Windows servers. We actually had to do crazy stuff with the UI, and we found all these little tools that you can, say, okay, if you see an OK dialog box pop up, press the OK button. You can actually have it move the mouse and click buttons and stuff like that. Well, people have taken that same kind of utility tool, which is basically like a little scripting macroing tool that deals with like event-based logic. It's like looking for pop-ups. It's looking for certain things that you can set up on the screen, and then the mouse will go over and click it, or it'll double click it, or it'll do whatever you want, and you can have it wait for 2 seconds and then go click the enable, which is basically what they've done. So somebody has taken one of these tools, I think it's like Super Macros or something like that, which is one you pay for, which is really stupid because there's plenty of free ones out there. I've used some open source ones in a few automated applications where I was basically having this thing run a report on Excel before I realized you could actually fire off Excel from the command line. I had this little thing that was basically doing that, and then if it ran into a debug, it would actually just stop the app, close it, and reopen it, and everything else. So people have now cheated on WSJTX, making it fully automated and exposing the secrets. So they pulled the curtain out so you could see it all. And so who knows what's going to happen now with that software? It should be interesting to interesting to see. I mean, it was really a no-brainer that somebody would eventually do it and then talk about it, considering that FT8 is fully automated, by itself almost, right? Except for the clicking the OK button for the logger and then clicking back the enable TX. I mean, yeah, you could even write your own little tool pretty quick to look at the screen, and all you have to do is OCR the screen.
Yeah, it's interesting as you mentioned that. I was thinking when you were talking about it, there's a couple of things in different elements of the world where you can still do that. Like from a command line perspective, there's the expect command, which you can to create CLI type logic where you can set up an SSH script or something to do something, and every time it gets feedback from the remote end, it can progress through and step through some procedure.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I used to write expect stuff on the command line, and then this the tool I used, I think it was like called Scully X or something like that, Skull UI X or something like that, It was written in basically the macroing language was in expect as well, except for you could actually drag and drop images of little screenshots. <It's> like you could screenshot the OK button, and it would sit there and look at the screen until it saw that OK button, and then it would follow the actions once it did it. So it's basically just running an expect around those events. So who knows? Who knows what's going to happen now? Cat's out of the bag.
Right. Along those same lines,
they're going to be on there getting their 5 billion contacts for this Grid Chase Award for the AWRL this year.
Hey, don't give anybody any ideas.
If everybody does it, then it's not cheating, right?
Well, that's true. I suppose they'll just have to create a special class for people who don't use the cheat methods, so you get an extra point per contact.
Right. 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 Yeah. So if you see somebody making contacts 24 hours a day in LOTW, then please, by all means, fine that ham for running his station unattended.
That's right. That's against the rules.
Yes.
And in the mobile world, there's another thing called IFTTT, which I'm sure you're familiar with, but that does the same kind of thing. And you can use that across different applications and stuff. It's mainly used to integrate with applications so that, like, say, your GPS app detects that you've gone to a certain place, then you can trigger an alarm or something like that. So the same lines of scripting based on events, IFTTT in the mobile world. Plus, it also can be used with Alexa, but I haven't figured out how to do that yet. We've sort of semi-made our home a smart home, and I know you can do weird things with it. But
yeah, like invite the NSA right into your house.
Hey, I know everyone complains, you know, telling me about, oh, you don't want to, you know, talk about anything with your house when you got Alexa listening because you never know what it's paying attention to and all that. But yeah,
actually, it always pays attention because it's looking for the keyword to come up.
Yeah,
it, much although, like your cell phone.
Right.
The thing is with Alexa,
everywhere.
The thing with Alexa, there will not be anything going on in the room. No TV, no radio, no nothing. And all of a sudden she'll be like, I'm sorry, I can't find that. And I'll be like, did you say something? Or it's like, no, I thought you did. I'm like, no. 3 o'clock in the morning. We have one in our master bathroom. At 3 o'clock in the morning, be like, I'm sorry, I couldn't find that for you. And it will wake me up. And I'm like, find what for who? So I don't know if she's picking up on my snoring. No, or...
sorry, I can't find that.
Yeah. And the rest of the time,
I wanted one of those things for like the hot tub area, you know, mainly just to, you know, stream music and stuff like that, you know, because I have a sound system out there, and I normally connect up one of the phones to Bluetooth to the sound system, and I'm like, well, I could get one of those little dots, and I don't want it in the house. I'll just put it outside, and I'm thinking, well, then somebody can go like order books and crap like that for my account from outside.
Yeah, but I don't like, ever.
Hey, Alexa.
Yeah, the thing is ordering through
order
Alexa.
Order me some moon pies.
Yeah, the ordering through Alexa is kind of a pain in the butt. I tried it once and I was just like, never mind. I'll grab my phone. Whatever. Yeah. So we use it.
Yeah, they
mostly
have to prevent like false ordering.
Right.
Yeah, we use it in our master bathroom. We use it for showering. You know, to listen to the radio or whatever. And the ones that we've got through the rest of the house is to turn the lights on, because most of the lights in the house are through it, or for music. Occasionally, if I'm cooking, I'll say something like, you know, Alexa, you know, find me a substitution for buttermilk or something. You know, if I'm out of buttermilk or whatever. But, you know, most of the time it's just music.
Shouldn't
and
you
turning
have that memorized?
I do.
Like,
I do.
A little vinegar.
It was an example, you know. But most of the time it's just to listen to music or turn the lights on and off. So.
Yeah. It's still pretty useful. And I kind of think it's amusing, and it's always fun. It's like a party trick sometimes when people are over here.
But. Yeah, I mean, I really appreciate, you know, seeing what some people have done with them and stuff like that. Like, I have a friend that we meet for coffee on Fridays. It's a little meetup here in town for all the remote workers, you know, air quotes, anybody that works from, you know, remote. And we just have coffee and for like half the day, then go out to lunch. But he's like automated his whole house, including like his lawn sprinklers, his air conditioning and lights and doors. And yeah, I mean, his whole house is just completely tricked out. And
our heat and air is hooked up for Alexa too. So
yeah we have a thermostat as well. So it works out really well. And actually,
it's not my cup of tea.
I like doing it, and especially one of my favorite things about the thermostat is the geofencing, which is not an Alexa thing. It's just part of the thermostat, but it keeps track of your location, and if you wander away from the house for the weekend or whatever, you can have it automatically lower the temperature and things like that. It's a nice, you know, it's not like going to change the world, but it is a nice automated feature.
And, you know, we can turn on, like last night, I didn't get home until 2 o'clock this morning, and we have our outside lights through Alexa set to turn off at like 2 a.m. But when I pulled in the driveway, the lights were off. So I was able to log into the app in my phone and say, turn the lights back on. So I didn't have to walk inside into the dark. So, which was nice. So,
yeah, it's probably useful in a lot of ways we don't really think about. You know, for the most part, we just turn the lights on and off and tell it to play us music. But, you know, there's lots of things that it can do. And I know we've kind of drifted away from drinking, but I want to get my whiskey review in here.
Well, get on it.
I know. I will. And like I said before, I was going to review the Templeton Rye, but I'll do that another time. What I pulled out this time, and actually before we recorded the show, I actually went through all of the episodes we had done before to make sure I wasn't duplicating something we had already done. I apparently started reviewing whiskeys or alcohol in episode number 181 and have done it, you know, through until the last episode. 200. So this time I'm going to do one of my all-time favorite scotches, which is Highland Park Dark Origins, and I have the bottle of it here. And this is one that's a non-age statement. It's double-aged. It's like aged in oak and sherry, and it's just I don't know, it's got really good flavor. If you look at it on the internet, there are a lot of mixed reviews about it, but this is really, really one of my favorites. For many reasons, mostly because it has amazing flavor to me. It really stands out in the flavor category, which probably turns people off. I'm not sure why it would, but a lot of people have bad reviews of Highland Park Dark Origins. But I'm not one of those folks. And this is a high proof scotch too. It's bottled at 93.6 proof, which is 46.8 ABV, which is high. It's Island Region, and the color on it is really nice. It's like a dark honey, almost cherry. There's like a little hint of reddish caramel color in there, which means it's probably got some actual caramel color in it. It's probably not natural. It is a non-chill filtered scotch. And the nose on it is what's the most amazing part of it to me, because you smell this and you kind of get the immediate alcohol hit, but as soon as that goes away, you're left with layers of really sweet notes to it. There's notes of milk chocolate and toffee and butterscotch and even dried cherry in it. It's almost like candy, but when you taste it, you get all of that, but in a drier way. It's almost like the dry wine version of all of those flavors. Most of them are still there, although the toffee is more forward, and there's a little bit of vanilla, but you get the rich chocolate in there as well. You get the dried fruit and the dark cherry notes, like citrus zest. There's like a little lemon on it, especially if you put a couple of drops of water in there. And then sort of in the background, you have, you know, the smoke, the peat smoke. It's really not very prominent, especially considering this is an island scotch. It's not an islet scotch, but it's an island scotch. It's a little bit on the pricey side. I think this bottle cost about $75 when we picked it up for 750 milliliter. But in my book, it is well, well worth it. And I gave it a rating of 93. I probably could have rated it a little bit higher, but I have not approached this scotch in a little bit of time. If I have a few more drinks of it, it's probably going to go up in the high 90s. But it's excellent. And if you can afford to spend $75 on a bottle of scotch and are not too picky about age statements and maturation and things like that, and just like a good dram, I highly recommend Highland Park Dark Origins. And that's all I have to say about that.
Yummy.
So, I think we've been through the etherpad. We probably want to keep the show to about this length, I would think. And I don't believe we had anybody who has jumped in to the mumble. So we don't have anybody who wants to say anything. But we can check the chat room and see if there is anybody who wants to add anything to the show or make a comment or ask a question before we wrap things up for episode number 202. I want to thank Robert, W1RCP, and Dave, KB0OWD, for showing up tonight and having a lively discussion in the chat room while we're sitting here talking about things we enjoy.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Robert says, rye is a little spicy. I like the little kick. Yeah, the ryes tend to be very grain forward, and the dry sort of wheat taste and rye taste that comes out of a rye whiskey I really like as well. He says he can't taste the other flavors like Russ can. He says he usually just tastes hairspray. So
Bill, well, Band-Aid and hairspray is always big, so.
Yeah.
And Robert wants to know if Cheryl has used her call sign over RF yet.
No, I haven't used it at all.
No.
But she's got it.
That's right, she's got it.
I've got it, yeah.
You have to get your general. See, that's where we're at now.
I don't see any reason to get my general. I haven't used it at all yet.
Well, maybe we'll have to get you to use it.
No, whatever. I haven't studied.
He's waiting for someone to put up a 6-meter antenna.
Hey, well, maybe we can make that a challenge. I'll get Cheryl on the air and put up a 6-meter antenna.
Sure you want.
Well, see, the thing, I think what he's saying is you can operate on 6-meter because you actually have privileges on 6 meters.
Yeah.
Yes.
So if we...
It's the magic band.
Right. So I guess I need to put up a 6-meter antenna, and then you get on 6 meters, make some sporadic e-contacts.
I see.
And Robert says, dang it, like in all caps.
It's great except for on CW.
Alrighty then.
Da 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 da. Da da da.
Very yeah. long. It does have the five though. The five is the best number for CW. The did it did it.
Yes. Yes.
So, but yes, your call sign is a whole lot of da's.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, I think that's it. We want to thank everybody for listening in. Anybody who joined in the live stream or, you know, popped into the chat room. And of course, we will be recording again on Monday, which is what, January 15th? That's Cheryl's birthday.
Yep. So we are recording on Monday.
Well, we may be recording on Monday, or there'll be something on Monday. We'll see how that plays out.
Okay.
So there may be something pre-recorded playing on Monday, but there'll be something there. And then we won't be doing this particular thing, the Weekender, for 2 weeks, which is... it's a little odd. I think we're all going to take a little time to get used to the new schedule, but hopefully everybody's enjoying it. And if you have any feedback, please send it to us. We'd like to know what you think of the changes and all of that, whether you like them, hate them, or whatever. It doesn't mean we're going to change anything, but it would be nice to know what people think. So.
It's like everybody hated it, but meh, whatever.
Well, if everybody hates it, then we might have to make a change.
I see.
Yeah, I will say this, that if you do hate it and you want us to make a change, make a suggestion about a change, don't just say you hate it. So,
okay.
Constructive criticism is always better than just criticism. So. Anyway, with that, I guess we're all going to get out of here. So that's Cheryl over there.
Hmm.
Yeah, who has a drink in her mouth, and I did that on purpose.
Goodbye, everyone.
All right. And out in Big Sky Country, is it still snowing out there, Bill?
It snowed yesterday, but it stopped. Yeah.
It's snowing
yeah,
so it's here snowing right anymore. Now.
Yeah,
we are getting a little flurry. I think it's actually going to snow tonight a little bit, too. So there's a winter storm warning or watch in place. So I did drive out to Columbus today, and that's about like 35 miles away. And it was icier than crap on the highway. So be careful out there.
Yeah, we started today here at 60 degrees. It is now 14. Nice.
Yeah,
it's 14 nice. And snowing right now. So.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, but that's the weather for you.
Yep, 73, everyone from Montana.
All right, take care, everyone. I'm going to hit the outro button. We're going to get out of here, and we'll see you all on Monday, I hope. Anyway, take care.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Linux in the Ham Shack. LHS is a community-sponsored podcast. Our website is located at lhspodcast.info. You can support the program by visiting the LHS Patreon page of patreon.com/LHSpodcast or using the contribute link on the website. Get in touch via social media. The show has a presence on Google+, Facebook, Twitter, Discord, and YouTube. Or you can drop an email to info@lhspodcast.info or record a voicemail at 1-909-LHS-SHOW. That's 1-909-547-7469. Visit the IRC channel, LHS Podcast, on the Freenode IRC network. Also visit the online merchandise store at shop.lhspodcast.info for fun and fashionable LHS merchandise. Become an ambassador and represent LHS at a Linux convention or hamfest. Email ambassadors@lhspodcast.info or visit the website for details. The podcast is recorded live every Monday night at 8 o'clock p.m. Central Time. Connect to the stream at stream.blacksparrowmedia.net:8008/LHS Live. Until next time, over and out. Linux in the Ham Shack and the Linux in the Ham Shack logo are released under a Creative Commons Attribute Non-Commercial No Derivatives 4.0 International License.